swallowed your semen. Why did I do that? I called your parents. Why did I do that? I gave you my baby picture.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the September 2025 edition of Poet Radio. My name is Chris Funkhauser, host of this monthly program on WGXC since October 2015. The show tonight finishes off a decade of work at the station, 120 consecutive original shows, and here's hoping for a few more years ahead as well. Sorry to say I could not arrange to have a guest this month, but since there's been a recent development regarding some of the recordings I co-produced with We Press in the early 1990s, usually with comrades Carl Daigling and Stephen Cope in Santa Cruz, some of which are newly digitized, I do have an interesting, if a bit of a memory lane type program ready to go. A few weeks ago, I was contacted by Zach Carduner at Penn Sound, who had come across some of the Wii recordings in Pierre Joris's cassette archive, which has recently been donated to Penn Sound. Zach had the idea to build out a collection of all the audio and video material we had produced over the years. Some of it was remotely online at WePress.org, some of it wasn't. At any rate, I dedicated the June 2022 Poet Radio broadcast to We Magazine 15 cassette, and tonight you'll hear excerpts from four other We Press audio publications, all of which were issued on cassette. We Magazine 11, 1989, Andy Clausen's Blind Lemon Pozor and the Lemonade, 1991, We Magazine 16, William Everson, 1992, both issued in 1992. We also produced a compact disc and a video edition, both of which are also part of the We Press Penn Sound archive. I started off the program with the poem Song, sung and played by Elizabeth Belil, Why Did I Do That?, which was part of We Magazine 16, a limited edition, very homespun publication that took shape as a silk-screened envelope that included poetry broadsides, chapbooks, artwork, this cassette, and even a bag of dirt from the backyard of our house in Santa Cruz, where it was produced. I'll be getting back to some more of that cassette in a bit. At the moment, I'm going to play part of the Blind Lemon Pozor and the Lemonade tape. Listeners of this show will be familiar with Clausen, who was a guest on this program on multiple occasions and who passed away last year after spending the last couple of decades in and around Woodstock.
Getting on the dune. The fabled Dune Express is backing in to be boarded. Howrah Station, Calcutta, Kalikata. Oh boy, city of joy. Thousands moving their lives. Pots, pans, food, gunny sacks, blankets, kids, the works. Union porters hustling with up to 40 kilo loads on toweled heads. Thieves with primitive, desperate tricks and some slick pickpockets and razor experts. Take your watch, your passport, money, without you even knowing it. Little dirty kids carry babies in tin cups, hopeful mothers off to the side. The usual disabled and diseased and everyone else as chaiwallahs perpetuate their ceaseless chant. Chai, 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 chai. Political saboteurs who make the papers every day, Leave this train alone. Beware non-union extortionist porters. At least four political parties ready to cheat you. And the rest of India. The wretched and ordinary. The crazed and pathetic. The sick, the beautiful, and the wise. I've been to Port Authority night and day. I've ridden the subway at ball game rush hour. But this is nuts. Deadly. We have second class reserved, the mental and financial wherewithal affording us a plank with our number above it, to stretch out on tonight with one eye open. On our way to our designated car, my mind and eyes are waylaid, jaw hanging. Holy Shiva shit. Holy cow dung. Jesus, it's big. It's India's masses going for unreserved seats, yelling, screaming, on top of each other, climbing, flailing, shoving, crawling, screaming, arms and legs flying everywhere, trying to get in the train, secure a seat, be there now. What a release of furious energy. These are Kali's people. Total chaos. No one has rights but the self. Don't think twice. Go, Calcutta. Go, Kali. Spit, bite, scratch, trample, pent up, burst, penetrate, anything. Straddle it, get in. Don't be left out. Destroy the train. Trample the generations. Give eternity ear damage. It's the end of the universe. Out the black hole. All aboard. It's the Doom Express. Puri. India has 2,000 tons of surplus legal opium. Illegal opium is the reason. In Puri, the holy city on the Bay of Bengal, it can be bought at government shops. It is rarely smoked. It is called milk. The bicycle rickshaw wallahs put little boluses or plugs of it under their lip, along with their betel nut and tobacco palm. This is the concoction Midnight's Child calls rock'em. They have plenty of work. The pond has them wired. The milk kills the pain, the tendonitis, the heat, the belly. They don't carry much fat, and the hills are not too steep. The sadhus have legal ganja for religion and anyone else. It is invisible, mixed into cigarettes and beedis. The traditional culture. Injis suck up bong lassis, peel off 1,000 years, like a molten layer of skin. It's all very quiet and dignified. A zonked out, peaceful, preposterous, holy city. Home of Jagannath, a deity for outcasts. Puri, India. Ahoy, Mr. President, ahoy. The playwright, philosopher, president comes backstage. Only two bodyguards? One with a long ponytail? There's Pivo and more back here. We're celebrating in Czech, English, Japanese. Alan introduces us. Yes, I have a question. What incentive? Where are you going to get the incentive for the workers to leave the pub and go back to jobs in factories? To do their direly needed best? At 7, 8, 9 in the morning, at 11, 12, 13, they are getting tanked. Their desire is kaput, their guilt obnoxious. Spiritual incentive. Alan and Ann are synchronized. The president is tired. But you see, unfortunately, I have been in prison for the last 5 years. That is why people must tell me. My brain is gasping. Oh, my God. Is this man a Mishkin? A saint? An innocent? A nice guy intellectual who likes Ken Kesey, Lou Reed, Frank Zappa, Allen Ginsberg, and democracy? It's not a game. When will I ever have the chance to have the head of a nation listen to me again? Mr. President, I go to work. I have to work 8 hours. I work all eight, going, 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 cranking, hump, humping, humping, always go. It is mind and body. I have no time to dream poetry and weeping in museums. Boring, dangerous, weary. Then PIVO. Not PIVO before work. No PIVO at work or I am fired. No car. No house. No food. I must fear too much. You are telling me all the workers are drinking in the pub? I see by his face this is a depressing notion. Alan's already told him about the 100 years remaining for the planet, about censorship in the USA, about the dying forests, the potential Chernobyls of the future, about candor eliminating paranoia, and how Czechoslovakia could benefit from meditation practice. Now too late, after rapping at you half smashed, I realize the communists have said PIVO is Czechoslovakia's second bread. The workers will not be denied PIVO, and the workers are the party's strength. It's been going on at least 30 years. Longer, I'm sure. Pozor, PIVO, ahoy! Pozor, PIVO, attention, danger, beer! Catch you later, beware, beer! The second bread, the second breath, the second wind, the second death. Ahoy, Mr. President! Ahoy! Pozor, PIVO, Pozor! I don't want your pathos and guilt, mister. I don't want the money you took from me and my neighbors. I don't want a pretty corporate umbrella. I never asked to be a big boy Rockefeller. All I need, mister, all I want is my old job back again. I don't want to rule the world or sleep with the elegant lady. I don't want to live in a neighborhood with guards and perfect grammar. I don't want to join an uprising of the bloody sickle and hammer. All I need, mister, all I want is my old job back again. I don't need fashion and my old records still turn me on. I don't need a computer in every window to party with movie stars. I don't want to starve others and be starving inside. I've got real stars. All I need, mister, all I want is my old job back again. I don't want you to force you to pay descendants of slaves back wages at today's prices. I know you're not going to give land, freedom, and respect to Native Americans. I'm not asking you to undo the wrongs of history or all the wrongs today. But, mister, something's wrong with me. All I want is my old job back again. I don't need any more suits than the one black one I have. I don't need to take the 7 lovely voyages of Sinbad. I don't expect justice, a new opening, a real change in the distribution of goods. Nothing like that. If it's cold, I'll wear a hat. But I expect I need, mister. I want my old job back again. I don't need to live in the houses I'm building. I don't need to eat in the restaurants I'm helping. I don't need to drive the cars we were building or use the steel we were forging. I don't need the tires I was stacking. All I need, mister, I want my old job back again. Yeah, and then pretty soon you'll want a raise and health benefits and retirement. Then you'll want the iron rice bowl so you can't be fired and work will suffer and we'll be in as big a mess as the Soviet Union. I know your kind. You've got to be more repentant than that. You want to work for us? Then repudiate. Yes, repudiate everything but your job. I don't want your pathos and guilt, mister. I don't want the money you took from me and my friends. I don't want a pretty corporate umbrella. I never asked to be a big boy Rockefeller. All I need, mister, all I want is my old job back again.
You just heard cuts from Andy Clausen's 1991 tape, Blind Lemon, Pozor, and the Lemonade. The first of the musical tracks, Getting on the Dune, featured a Czech ensemble known as the MCH Band, and on the other, Puri, he was joined by the Lemonade, a band Carl Daigling, Stephen Cope, and I were in. I'm going to go back now and play three cuts off the very first Wii Audio edition, for which I solicited cassettes using grassroots methods, word of mouth, and through a notice in the Bay Area newspaper Poetry Flash. My friends Jimmo and Richie West also helped out. 1989, the year it was issued, predates the internet, and we did what we could to let people know what we were up to. Here are tracks by Joanne Kiger, Jennifer Stone, and Jean Geyer and Sybil Glebo.
Outside in the back garden, watering some plants with a watering can. As I now water my thoughts and the iris, I mess around. Missing you in fall's purple blossoms, my sleeve sniff is wet. Weekend, 11 o'clock on a fog-laden morning, and I travel to Athens, Africa, and after I water the garden, the sun begins to break through and the dazzling fields of grasses wave. I wave back. The sun fades. So do I. Only to revive 18 hours later, nearer the solstice. Everyone running around like crazy in the dark of the moon, resting in grasses under the fog and going from yummy into the sublime, watching for the red gold lion of morning to rise.
Here's something I wrote on the beach at Mendocino years ago. I think it marked the end of my hippie euphoria and the beginning of a period of post-psychedelic realism. It's called sand. Vista Point at Mendocino is the extreme west point of California. Read the sign there by the sea. Raw sewage. This beach quarantined. I've gone about as far as I can go amidst the garbage and the flowers. And she is standing on the shore in my long black cape, costume in the wind. Back to the sea with thee, love. There she was, and I saw her. Typhoid Mary in beads.
Feast. Method of evaluating shade trees.
This feast
indeterminate
is in honor
monetary
of the dead.
Value of shade and ornamental trees.
He prepared
three
camotes,
basic factors
the flesh of the
considered.
Shark, a gourd full of honey.
These are size, kind, and condition of the
but
trees.
An insolent black cat appeared.
Tree size can be designated and began in several to devour ways, such the as the diameter of the trunk, the area
feed
of the cross-section of the
and
trunk,
let them go.
The height, the branch spread, or a combination of
Magellan
all, or
told
a part
Humabon that he thanked God for
it
inspiring him to become a
that
Christian.
The area of the cross-section of the trunk at a
do
point
not cry
high,
over a dead fish.
4 1/2 feet above ground, is
after
the best
passing
means
the prescribed tests,
the
he was perfumed with sweet gum resin, and his skin was tattooed.
This cross-section trunk area can
the journey is long
from the trunk
and full of many obstacles.
Using the formula 0.7854d squared.
He thanked God
these
for inspiring him to become a Christian. Now he could more easily conquer his enemies.
On page 5.
And the world
as stated
was created
previously,
from an argument between a banana tree and a round stone.
Adopted $6
the banana tree
per
won,
inch of
but there has always been
as
strife.
The conservative value of a perfect specimen shade tree.
They consider it an
no
affliction to leave their little houses where they were born and have been reared.
Since the value of our dollar varies with economic conditions.
Garlic, ginger,
should our money
a
depreciate
coin,
further,
a handful of dust.
Increase in the value per square inch of trunk cross-section will be necessary.
I sought counsel
conversely,
from all sides.
If money increases in value, the
Sibaya
unit price
knew
of
that sweeping her hut with
reduced.
A broom at night would invite a red monkey.
Not all species and varieties of trees are of equal value.
At the base of
the
mountain, the
same
there grew a large field of high bamboos,
values,
each having many segments.
Therefore,
every day, a red monkey
a
came to take away one segment from a bamboo.
And that the trees be segregated into groups based on
I
relative
sought counsel.
Value.
From all sides.
The recommendation of the International
the chief
Shade
crops
Tree
are
Conference
hemp,
is
rice,
that the trees in
sugar,
group 1 be
copra,
at 100%,
and
in group 2 at 80%.
Each segment reduced someone's life by one day.
In group 4 at 40%, and those in group 5 at 20%.
After the prescribed
very
test, her skin was perfumed with sweet gum resin.
As trees
thus,
become large
her fingers
old,
became
they very
quilled
often
and
become
feathered,
defective in one
feet
or several
spindle
ways.
To claws, her mouth became
a
beak, and she flew screeching
the
into the epal-epal trees.
Nearly each tree approaches a perfect specimen.
Sugar,
with respect to
cordage,
condition of the tree,
rice,
the committee suggests
cigars,
5% classes
scrap,
with values
and filling.
Of 100% of a perfect specimen, 80%, 40%, and 20%.
I have already
to
referred
the
to the old woman, Sibaya. One must keep
tree.
The skull
consider
of a monkey
a tree
over the
with
doorway.
Trunk DBH, diameter breast high, of 20 inches.
I sought
by
counsel from all
table,
sides. I walked the floor of the White House night after night.
Is found to be 314
after night.
Square inches. This tree has a basic value of
$6
times
one or two cooked eggs, a white or black feathered chicken, garlic,
this would
ginger,
be the value of the tree
charcoal wrapped
in
pieces
one,
of cloth,
or 100% species,
betel nut,
and
an
also
arcanet.
In class one, or 100% condition class.
There was
but
nothing left to
if
do
the tree were in group
but take
three
them all.
With respect to species. The value would be 60% of $1,884 or $1,000.
He went in search of the liver of the coral snake. The story goes on to tell how the children of the first people learned to make a fish corral.
Condition, its value this would be 60% of $1,130 or
there was nothing left to do but take them all,
for the sake
educate,
of simplicity,
uplift,
it is recommended
and Christianize
that the cents
them.
Be dropped, and that the tree values be expressed to the nearest dollar.
Holy Fridays, when God is supposed to be dead, the devils dispense magic to anyone desiring
no
it.
No hard and fast rule can be set up that will hold in
do
all
not
cases.
Cry over a dead
instances
fish.
Undoubtedly will be encountered of such remarkable specimens that the basic value should be increased.
And thus,
this
a wise
a
and beautiful work
judgment,
went on.
As is the condition class for any tree.
Taliacod tends a fire which burns forever between two tree trunks.
Such as effect of land value,
she prepared
camotes,
the flesh of a shark,
a
gourd full
tree,
of honey.
That is left to the person making the appraisal. Always, the judgment and opinions of the appraiser will be important
gold,
in determining
silver,
the value.
Pearl,
for this
for
reason,
buttons.
It is believed that to obtain realistic
banana,
values by the method,
mango,
it should be applied by
custard
an
apple,
or horticulturist
flesh of the
who
wild
is
pig,
with the characteristics
guava,
of the trees being appraised,
and mangosteen.
And who is capable through experience with trees in landscape plantings of placing individual specimens in their proper condition class.
Model sanitary
Most
markets have been built
have
and the sale
value.
Of all perishable foodstuffs severely restricted.
Value can be established for a particular tree, that this be considered the value of the tree.
Tobacco,
a medium and large
one or two
trees,
cooked eggs,
where a replacement value
a white
practical.
Or black
the method
feathered
which has been described
chicken
will give fair values.
Little bird.
It should be understood that this method for evaluating
there has always
shade and ornamental trees
been
is intended for use with specimens.
Strife.
Trees.
That was a piece called Feast / Shade Tree Evaluation by Jean Geyer and Sybil Glebo. And the notes on the cassette J card say that Sybil is reading from the report of the International Shade Tree Conference, Columbus, Ohio, 1965. Jennifer Stone's piece, Sand, before that, is credited as a KPFA air tape. And Joanne Kiger's What's That on That Silver Surfboard features Arthur Okamura and on Fresh Kelp French Horn, and George Winter on synthesizer. Next, I'll be playing recordings we made of William Everson, which came out in 1992. You'll be hearing A Canticle to the Waterbirds, Cutting the Firebreak, Spikehorn, and The High Embrace.
A Canticle to the Waterbirds. Cock your beaks! You cormorants and kittiwakes, north on those rock-cropping things jutted into the rough Pacific surge. You migratory terns and pipers, who leave but the temporal claw track written on sandbars there of your presence. Grebes and pelicans, you cover-picking scoters and you shore-long gulls, all you keepers of the coastline north of here to the Mendocino beaches. All you beyond upon the cliff face, thwarting the surf at Hecate Head, hovering the undersurge where the cold Columbia grapples at the bar. North yet to the sound, whose islands float like a sown flurry of chips upon the sea. Break wide your harsh and salted crested beaks unmade for song, and say a praise up to the Lord. And you freshwater egrets, east in the flooded marshlands, skirting the sea level rivers, white one-legged watchers of shallows, broad-headed kingfishers, minnow hunting from willow stems on meandering valley sloughs. You too, you herons, blue and supple-throated, stately, taking the air majestical in the sun-flooded San Joaquin, mating over the willow clumps or where the fat water of rice fields shimmer. You killdeer, high night criers, far in the moon's suffusion sky, bitterns, sand waders, all shore walkers, all roost keepers, populates of the adobe cliffs of the Sacramento. Open your water-dartling beaks and make a praise up to the Lord. For you hold the heart of his mighty fastnesses and shape the life of his indeterminate realms. You're everywhere on the lonesome shores of his wide creation. You keep seclusion where no man may go, giving him praise. Or may a woman come to lift like your cleaving flight her clear contralto song to honor the spindrift gifts of his soft abundance. You sanctify his hermitage rocks where no holy priest may kneel to adore nor holy nun assist, and where his true communion keepers are not enabled to enter. And well may you say his praises, birds, for your ways are verbed as the secret skills of his inclinations, and your habits plated and rare with the subdued elaboration of his intricate craft. Your days intent with the direct astuteness needful for his outworking, and your nights alive with the dense repose of his infinite sleep. You are his secretive charges, and you serve his secretive ends. in his cloudy, misconditioned stations, in his murk, obscure in your muted nestings, immured in his limitless ranges. He makes you penetrate through dark interstitial joinings of his thicketed kingdoms and keep your concourse in the deeps of his shadowed world. Your ways are wild, but earnest, your manners grave, your customs carefully schooled to the note of his serious mien. You hold the prime condition of his clean creating, and the swift compliance with which you serve his minor means speaks of the constancy with which you hold him. For what is your high flight forever going home to your first beginnings but such a testament to your devotion? You hold his outstretched world beneath your wings and mount upon his storms and keep your sheer wind-lidded sight upon the vast perspectives of his mazy latitudes. But mostly it is your way you bear existence wholly within the context of his utter will and are in trouble. Day upon day you do not reckon, nor multiply the scrutinize tomorrow, nor multiply the nightfall with a rash concern, but rather assume each instant as warrant sufficient of his final seal. Wholly in providence you spring, and when you die, you look on death in clarity unflinched. Go down, a clutch of feather ragged upon the brush, or drop on water where you briefly lived, found food, and now yourselves made food for his deep current-keeping fish, and then are gone. He's left but the pinion feather spinning a bit on the uprow, where lately the dorsal cut clear air. You leave a silence, and this for you suffices, who are not of the ceremonials of man, and hence are not made sad to now forego them. Yours is of another order of being, and wholly it compels. But may you, birds, utterly seized in God's supremacy, austerely living under his austere eye, yet may you teach a man a necessary thing to know, which has to do with the strict conformity that creaturehood entails and constitutes the prime commitment all things share. For God has given you the imponderable grace to be his verification outside the mold and certitude of our forensic choices, that you, our lessers in the rich hegemony of being, may serve as testament to what a creature is and what creation owes. Curlews, stilts and scissor tails, beachcomber gulls, wave haunters, shorekeepers, rockhead holders, all Cape Cod vigilantes now give God praise. Send up the strict articulation of your throats and say his name. Cutting the firebreak. Mowing the east field under the ridge, I weighed the wind. The bent rib scythe found rusting in the barn swings and sung. The ancient blade of my wife's great-grandfather, drawn from the dust of 70 years, riots in the grass. They don't make them like this old gull anymore, cackled the smith. Hunched above his spectral grindstone, shouting across the howl of iron and the flare of sparks, he paused, spat on the blade, wiping off rust. In sudden silence, the wedding ring he wore on his finger chimed fine steel. Cocking his head like a listening bird, he snatched up a phial and rapped again. Hear that hum in her spine? That tone when she shivers? He barked harsh laughter. Old-timer's got a name for it. Turning, he cut the power, stepped down from the bench. They call it the moan of death. And that hunger vibrates up the crooked stalk as the grass reels. I feel it hum in my arms. Stroke on stroke, it sings in my shoulders. My collarbone rings to the pulse of it, the ravenous steel. And I swing with it, made one with it, weeding among the standing fern, goat-footed, trampling tall bracken, ruthless, the radiant flowers, iris, wild orchid, leopard lily, the flesh and shimmering splendor of life. And then the honing, whetstone and steel kiss each other. They crave it so. They lick their lips greedily together, like reckless lovers. Whereas the whore mouths the man, I have to pull him apart. The man's scythe hisses in the grass. The snake denies. Moans in the arrow. Humph, humph. Oh, the grunt of lovers biting each other, stroke on stroke, coupling through hell. It makes the sex crawl, growl in my groin to call him down. Wild iris, lily, the moan and the shudder. All the women in my life sprawled in the weeds, drunk in death. Poem called Spikehorn. The yearling buck shot through the lungs. He was out of the brush and halfway to the stream before he fell. The illegal hunter never followed through. What dropped in the meadow died where it fell. Unnoticed save two red bulls fenced in that field. The following day, a great black bird rose up when we came, lurched clumsily off, the wings made for soaring, baffled now in this hemmed enclosure, this deep forest field. Late that night, the coyotes found him. We heard from far off the yelping chorus, clamoration of the feast. I sung litany to the winnowing of time, the brevity of life. Early next morning, the great bird was back with a dozen others, a vulturine horde. Ghosts out of hell, they perched on the carcass, angling each other out at the plucking, obscenely gobbling the riddle of gut. Abrupt arrival sent them hissing aloft to circle and alight, teetering and balancing on the tall fir tops. Refusing to abrogate their ancestral place at the sharing of the feast. Two days later, the sentinel bull stood over the torn and scattered remains, bellowing, lugubriously lowing, solemnly lamenting the passing away of all slotted-hoofed kind, mourning the death of their little cousin, little comrade of the woods. We paused above, disbelieving, and spoke to them as best we could. They stared back, uncomprehending. Not to be consoled, chagrined, we trudged on. The following weeks left nothing much but a tuned shin bone and a scrap of hide. No birds in the sky, no movement in the woods. Nothing but the sparse pasture. The two red bulls placidly cropping the giant cover. An emptiness in the air. Then the changing year brought a leaf flurry. Equinoxial rains replenished the earth. In the body print of the buck, the first green grass quickened bronze. And we said, circle is complete. The episode is over. But the silence that hung about that place was haunted. The presence of something anciently ordained, where we, unwilling acolytes, with the birds and the bulls, enacted its rite. There in the immemorial clearing, the great listening mountain above us for witness, the sacrificial host between the river and the woods, bride of the bear. We camped by a stream among rugged stumps in logged over country. No tree shelters our bed. In the year-long drought gripping the Sierras, there's now no snow. The night is warm. After our fog-haunted coast, the air is, at this height, seems weightless, without substance, almost clairvoyant. Luminous stars, low overhead, look into our lives. At ground level, the campfire dapples the stumps, throws fitful shadows, guttering the dark. We drink late wine. Arriving at dusk, we had pitched camp out quickly, eaten nervous supper. For a wrangler behind us, for a ranger going out, warned us of bear sign. And the wrangler behind him showed packs ripped open, bacon gorged. Seeing it, we prudently stashed our food in the jeep, gathered firewood, branches, root, and built up the blaze. Fumbling through our gear, my hand touched in passing the great bear skin carried in from the coast. Belated wedding gift. Brought along to delight you. The savage pelt to throw down by the fire. Barbaric trophy. In the mountain lair, but here, furtively concealed, discreet hibernation in the cave of the car. Finish with a poem. Called The High Embrace. They stand in the clearing of Kingfisher Flat, twin giants, Sequoia sempervirens, the ever vernal, taking the arms of their upper branches. The last light crossing the bench ridge west, sinking toward dusk. Standing between them, I look up the double column space to the soaring crown,
The red-ribbed branches clasp each other in a high embrace. For hundreds of years they have stood here, serenely apart, bringing clear creek water to sequacious pores, feeling the flake of the mountain sift chalkstone gravel about their bowls, watching giant grizzly scoop gravid salmon on the spawning bars below, and tawny cougars stalk for fawns in their leaf-dappled shade. They heard the kingfisher shir his erratic, intemperate cry, and over their tops the slow-wheeling condors circle the sun, drifting south to their immemorial roosting hatches in the Los Padres peaks. And they felt the demon of fire lick its running tongue up their shaggy skin and not flinch, scorched but unscarred in the long warfare, the stress tension shaping fuel to fire, the life flux of their kind. Tonight, in the heat of the drought, we will forsake our bed, setting the house presence out of our thought, taking our respite in the open air. We will muse late and lay ourselves down by fir bark embers under the cape of the twin redwoods, swept back in time 1,000 years when this coast nurtured its kind. The great beasts, the towering trees, the bird flight migrations, the shy coastal tribes. And in the sea troughs asleep, our dreams will mirror the world above, where stars swim over and shadow the blood dream's sibilance, all through the foliage of the flesh, its fern-like fronds. Up there above me, the last light filters in us through stained glass windows, diffuse, glowing in the lofts of the upper branches, radiant and soft. And the mystery of worship descends on me out of those far fenestrations. And the God awe, wake wonder envelops me between the monumental straightness of columns bearing the sky, the illuminate zone, twin towers conjoined above, clasped in the high embrace, the soaring arch. And the face of my son dawns between the gigantic bowls as he runs to meet me. And I ask in my heart the graciousness of God that he may grow in their presence as the tan oak grows, as the fir tree and the fern, as the chipmunk and the jay shelter under their span. I invoke their mystery of survival, that the lightning shattering years and the raw surge of fire may skim but not scar him, that they themselves are scathed but unscarred, though they, through the skipped years of his childhood, the leap years of his youth. Make over our heads then the high embrace, like a blessing, the numinous descent, faithful, out of the heights, the leaf-like canopy, the loss of God, in duplicate, a gift re-given, a boon bestowed. Thank you very much.
That was William Everson here on Poet Radio. We ended up connecting with Everson through Stephen Cope's friendship with his son Jude, and a small group of us went out to Kingfisher Flat to record him one afternoon. And the last part of that was from a reading at UCSC in 1992. As you can hear, Everson was quite elderly, and we were really lucky to be able to make those recordings. At the time, we were also close with Felicia Rice, a former student of Everson's, who is also a letterpress printer, so we and Rice's Moving Parts Press teamed up to make that tape. We're going to finish out the program with more cuts from the We Magazine 16 tape, short contrasting styles of songs, songs by poets. The first is by Michael Weaver, who sings and plays Half of Your Life, very reminiscent of somebody like Big Star, followed by Richard Loringer's Here, with music by Loringer and The Lemonade. I do hope you have enjoyed this Blast from the Past edition of Poet Radio, featuring samples of Penn Sound's about-to-be-launched We Magazine digital archive. I look forward to catching up with you again next month. Be as well as you can be, okay?
Did you see him up there? In black India, did he run down? In the hallway walls, did they pitch and roll? Could you stand him down? get out of here with half of your life? Or would you try? Would you try? You could get out of here with half of your life. Or would you try? Would you try?
Day.
Yeah, yeah.